Hey, it's Bethany. Welcome to another episode of Dialed In. Today I'm talking with Jennifer Mercado. So Jennifer is a New York transplant who now lives in Florida. She's a full-time luxury realtor, and she actually stepped out of a teaching role to pursue this new full-time realtor venture. You are going to love hearing from her. She is a mom of two toddlers and has an amazing husband who are supportive of her growth and this journey that she's on. And she talks about in this episode, she talks about facing fear and navigating what to do when you hear that voice inside of you saying, there's something more, there's something different, there's something better, you can be more fulfilled. And from leaving New York and moving to Florida to jumping out of her teaching position in the middle of a pandemic, there's all kinds of nuggets inside of this episode. So enjoy, Jennifer. Look for all her contact information inside the episode notes, and we'll see you on the other side. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Dialed In. I'm here with Jennifer. You just heard all about her in the introduction, and we're just going to dive in to some conversation about really leaning into your gifts, creating your own success, taking risks, and what that looks like and how that's different for every person. And in the middle of all of that, Jennifer's going to share her story of what that looks like for her. So welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you here. So I met Jennifer inside of a program called Elevate. April, March?
Yes.
I don't remember. Of 2020. And so I've been on several phone calls with her in a group setting throughout these last months and have just got bits and pieces of her story and her overcoming and her becoming. And so I don't know where you'd like to start, Jennifer, but no matter where you start, like, it's going to be amazing because there's so many lessons in your story and in what you've done and what you're doing. So
thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And yeah, this all started, I mean, back when I was born in 88, no, I'm not going to go that far.
Let's go way back.
Well, for me, yes, it was Elevate and then kind of being in this, I'll call it a container of a year because so much has happened that caused me to reframe, look at different perspectives, really decide what it is that I wanted to wake up to do every day. And like even within Elevate, there were some other moments in my life where that resonated and like I took other risks, but I don't feel that I leaned into it as much as I have this year. It's funny, I was having a conversation with a friend yesterday where I told her, like, I am exactly where I meant to be. I haven't second guessed a decision. I can't even remember when the last time was.
Wow.
I wake up every day. I get to live my life by my rules, how I want to.
That gives me goosebumps.
And it was just, it was like a moment to celebrate. Like in, and then like after the heels of that conversation, I like sit with my husband on the couch and we're watching the kids. I'm like, we did this. We get to, you know, if I have to watch the kids, I'm a realtor. I can like flex my schedule. And my mom wanted some time to do something yesterday. She usually helps us with the kids. I'm like, yeah, go ahead, do it. I get to stay home and watch my kids. I get to, you know, drive around, get them to take naps. This is my day. It's in a day. Why not? Like to be able to set my own rules and to do the things that I can like sit back and sigh that it's amazing. I haven't felt anything like that. And it was definitely because of the pandemic and kind of being in that position where I wanted something more. I felt that where I was back in March wasn't for me. It didn't feel right. It's not where I wanted to be. And that definitely caused a huge stir in me and a huge impulse to reframe, relook and pivot. And in all the years that one chooses to quit their full-time job to go become a realtor, I did it when there was a pandemic. So I don't know. At the time, it didn't seem like the best decision, but here we are in December and I've been doing only real estate full time and we've been able to maintain the house without a hiccup. Like, yes, this is exactly what I was meant to do. And finding that faith and confidence in myself to listen to my own voice inside and really get pulled by where I'm supposed to go has just been very, very rewarding through all the risks that we took this year.
Well, boy, you hit on something there. Listening to the voice inside and then being able to trust that to take those steps, like that can be incredibly scary. So how long have you been listening to that voice?
I think I've listened to her in other moments in my life where things kind of turned out much better than I planned. Mm-hmm. But this year, I really shed other layers that didn't belong to me, didn't feel right, to let me find my actual voice. And I want to say I started listening to her this January because I didn't like where I was. And then something like started stirring within me. And it's like, okay, well, go do a vision board. You've never done a vision board your whole life. Mm-hmm. Get your year in order. This is going to be for you. I go do the vision board. And like, I had so much doubt and second guessing. Like I didn't glue one image in that class. I only cut. And then I brought everything home because I couldn't even commit to putting things to paper for the vision that I wanted. That's how much doubt I had in who I was. That's how much insecurity I had in actually listening to her wholeheartedly. So I remember coming home and I'm like, I'm just going to glue it. It's images on paper. Really, what can the harm be? Mm-hmm. And if it turned out great, even better. So then in January, just listening to her and then feeling also like, okay, I'm ready to lose weight now. Like I had my son about a year before. Yeah, he's like 19 months now. And I'm like, it's time to shed the baby weight. So I leaned into that and I started doing a fitness routine with a friend who's a great coach. I had the honor of her before she started her endeavor. So she had hosted a program on Facebook and that's how I had found out about Tracy. So really listening to that small whisper in January, that's like, do a vision board. You've never done it. And I'm like, why? This is crazy. I've never done a vision board. I'm not even going to glue it at there. At the place where we were, but then to really kind of lean into that, like, okay, she thinks we're ready to exercise. I'm ready to exercise. I've lost 20 pounds. That's great. I started doing Elevate. I really leaned in. Mm-hmm. I unearthed trauma in my past that I didn't even want to acknowledge happened. And now I'm on the other side of it where I'm healing. So I want to say she's always been there, but this year she had a megaphone and was not going away. And I'm so grateful that I leaned into that trust because I had also lost a lot of faith. I'd lost trust in the process. And I so hard wanted to grasp because things had to look a certain way. Like I had a full-time job. I have two kids. Everything is perfect. Why am I so empty? And this is where like all of that propelled me to realizing that there's more than just having everything and being financially stable and, you know, having the 2.5 kids in the house. It's like, there's more to it than that. Mm-hmm. And now to lean into, well, I'm defining what that looks like for me because I trust I'm part of something else. I have faith again. I believe in relinquishing control. I love falling into the unknown because the best things that have ever happened in my life have been veiled by not knowing what's on the other side. Mm-hmm. So really letting that past experience of, well, you took a risk and all out leaning into that because I didn't know where it was going to go.
Mm-hmm. So, well, listeners, Jennifer is referring to a amazing coach. Her name is Tracy Litt. And if you've listened to this podcast for any length of time, you've probably heard me mention Tracy because I too have been in Tracy's programs this year in 2020. And it's been a definite up leveler for me. So Jennifer, when you hear the voice of her saying, hey, you know, this is your next step and trust this, what makes you actually do it? Because I know for me and the clients that I serve, but for me, before I even started this journey, I could hear that whisper of like, this is what you need to be doing. And I just tamped it down and ignored it and gave myself guilt because I should be happy. I had checked all the boxes, had the six-figure income in the house, like you said, the 2.5 kids and mm-hmm. this miles of smiles on Facebook. And like, why can't you just be happy? That's what I kept telling myself, you know, over and over again, until it got to the point that I was so miserable, you know, that the pain of staying where I was greater than the pain of like diving into the change. Right. And so as I work with clients, sometimes they've tamped down that voice for so long that they can't even hear it anymore. And other times, they know what they need to do next, but it's incredibly scary. So could you speak to that, to, I guess two questions. Was there ever a time where you didn't, like you had tamped down the voice so much that you didn't hear it anymore? And if so, what'd you do about it? And then when you did hear the voice, how did you muster the courage to take the steps?
Oh, wow.
I know those are big questions.
Yeah.
Okay, but honestly, you have 5 minutes.
It's at a perfect time because I was thinking about this yesterday, like, wow. I guess because it's the end of the year, so I'm really reflecting on mm-hmm. the 180 that I've done with who I was and who I am now. And I want to say I've shut her up basically my whole life. I just didn't feel that I could, because I didn't have any evidence to it, right? Mm. A lot of the things that have caused me to feel like my life is successful have been those whispers, which I didn't realize, you know, until reflecting on it now. But I decided I couldn't do it anymore. I remember sending a text actually to my fitness coach, Rachel, just telling her, like, I felt so nihilistic. Mm. That's the word. This year I felt like I was just swirling down the drain of nihilism when literally everything was fine. Mm. And that fear of like not knowing what to grasp on and why isn't this clicking for me? That's when I made a choice. Like, okay, if this is as bad as it's going to get and everything's perfect, you know, quote unquote, mm-hmm. then what have you got to lose to try the alternative? Right? What else is there? So really wanting to not feel that way, because I had two young kids. I don't want for them to, you know, be raised in a house where sure, everything looks great, but mom's just not there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I love kids. I was an educator for a long time. I was a clown for 10 years. Like mm-hmm. there's just something so refueling about kids' innocence and happiness and joy. Mm-hmm. And I thought if for anybody you need to listen and be the woman that you want to be, probably try it for these kids so that they can see that what you went through, it doesn't exist for them. You know, the upbringing that I had and the different things that I had to deal with don't. So when I spoke with her and I had texted her and I was like, I promise I'm not suicidal. I know it probably sounds that way, but I'm not. I just felt like things were collapsing from the inside out. So the first step for me was to listen to my body. So my body felt heavy. My body felt out of whack. I had had two consecutive pregnancies. I had a miscarriage before that. I just had all the things happening mm-hmm. physically. So I'm like, let me shut my physical body up. Let me give it what it wants. Let me track my meals. Let me start working out. And then when my body started feeling better, my mm-hmm. mind cleared out. And that's mm-hmm. when I was like, okay, so I feel much better. My clothes fit. That's an instant confidence booster. Now I start to listen to my mind. What's left? And then that's where I started hearing like the whispers of, well, you don't want to work in a school anymore. So what are you going to do about it? And when the pandemic is over and you guys have to go into school and you don't want to be there physically, what are you going to do about it? That's when she started getting louder. So then I started to, okay, well, listening to the first inclination got me to lose 20 pounds. So let me see what else she has to offer. And then to answer the second part of your question of what do I do to get over the fear of doing the thing that I have to do? I feel like I go through stages kind of like with grief where it's like, no, I'm not going to do that. Okay. Maybe I should. Okay. But what if I don't, you know, and like you have all these questions and the reel just starts running in your head. And then at some point you're just like, well, this isn't good. So you don't want to be here. Go over there. And then you do the thing, because where you are right now in your current reality and the space that you're manifesting and you're living in isn't exactly where you want to be. And there's no harm in doing anything new, because if you mess up, you mess up. You know, I thought to myself, well, if real estate doesn't work, I'll go work at a restaurant. No, pandemics are closed. You can't be a waitress. You can't do any of that. Mm-hmm. So it was just like, okay, it's a non-negotiable. This is going to be where I want to succeed. This is where I'm going to focus my efforts. And this is the thing. This is what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. So really just kind of telling yourself, like, what do you have to lose? Right? New can only get you new. New might not always be good, but it's not always bad. It's new. Mm-hmm. So just do it.
Yeah. I look around at friends and even some family that I have, and they aren't even willing to see that there could be a different way. Like sometimes we're so caught in our old habits and patterns that we can't see possibility or potential. Well, I could never do that. I'm too old. Or, oh, I can't, I have two young children at home. I can't do that. Or no, I don't have a college degree. I mean, like I just had a podcast guest on last week that has ran like multiple multi-million dollar companies. And she has an associate's degree. And wow. She told herself, you know, that there was no way she could do any of that because she didn't have the degree. And that's not true. You know, I have a mentor named Paul Martinelli who lives on Jupiter Island, which is one of the most expensive zip codes in the nation. And mm-hmm. he is a multi-millionaire, and he dropped out of high school in 10th grade and had a stuttering problem growing up because of extreme abuse.
Right.
You have potential. There is opportunity all around you, and your success is defined by you. But mm-hmm. unless you accept that and start to look at things differently, you can't see possibility. And I'm not like lecturing you, listeners. I'm just saying, like, I've been there. Like, it was terrifying for me to think of leaving my corporate job. I mean, I'm sure there were moments that you were fearful, Jennifer, as you, even though you had like calculated it out and made sure it was like, quote, okay. What, I mean, weren't you afraid?
Oh my gosh, for sure. And like I said, it wasn't even I wouldn't say this is an opportune time to leave a job when other people, you know, unfortunately are being laid off. And
right.
I am just making the decision to walk away from what was a good paying job with benefits. Granted, you know, Florida educators don't make a lot, but now I have the opportunity to make a lot more than that. Like, I'm not capped, but it mm-hmm. was stable, it was secure, and it was coming in. So to calculate that risk during a non-pandemic world, and then to exacerbate it now during a pandemic, it's like, well, if I'm going to do it, now is going to be the time anyways. Mm-hmm. No better time than the present, right? But I think it goes back to what you were saying. Like, yes, there's opportunity, but you also need the choice to see it. Mm-hmm. I had referred to something before. I was talking to a friend, and it's like, it's having the optics of choice. It's looking at things, and whether you don't feel that you have the power to make a different choice, there always is another option. Mm-hmm. And looking at it from that lens, like, okay, well, I decided I didn't want to lose weight for the longest time. That was my decision. Why? Because I did nothing about it. So that was a choice I inherently made. Mm-hmm. Whether I felt like I had a choice or not to do otherwise, the one that I made was to stay where I was. Mm-hmm. So to have just that recognition that, okay, I may not be choosing what I want or what works for me, but it's the decision that I've inherently made by not doing something else or not doing something different. Mm-hmm. So it definitely is about looking at, you have a choice. And if you're not ready to make a decision to do the thing that you in your heart of hearts wants to do, that's okay. Feel empowered in that you've made that choice to be where you are. Because chances are when you look at your situation that way, then you're going to propel yourself into making a different choice, because now you've cracked open that you do have options.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's the whole taking responsibility for where you're at. You know, most of our results in our life, if not all, are based on, you know, how we see the world, the meaning that we give things, the level of responsibility we're willing to take, and the choices that we've made and the outcomes of those choices. I mean,
right.
You know, and sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow. Now, granted, for me, I don't include everything in that. Like, we don't control when people have freak accidents, and we don't, I mean, my husband almost died this year of COVID. Like, there are things that are like outside of our control, but we get to always choose our response to that.
Exactly.
The power comes in realizing that you have a choice, and it's a moment to moment decision. And the whole idea that we decide the meaning of everything was totally a game changer for me. When I first started working with a coach, and he was like, well, yeah, this is your truth. And I'm like, what do you mean it's my truth? No, this is the truth. And he's like, no, it's your truth. And I was so angry at him because I couldn't understand, because we all think that our lens is like the quote, right lens. But, you know, I mean, it's just like, something happens, like when there's a car accident and the police get reports from five different people, there's five different versions of what happened. Yes. It may have the same overall theme, but everybody sees it a different way because we see the world as we are, not as it is, right?
I love that, because I took a sociology class in college. Just I took random stuff in college. I'm a poli sci major, because why not, with a minor in philosophy, you know, just for fun. But one of the things that we had talked about, like one of the first lessons in sociology, was that things that have become known to us have become known because that has been the generally accepted truth. Mm-hmm. But it's because we're all focusing on it with our own lens. So the professor had described it as like, imagine your eyes are like a flashlight. So when you light something up and somebody else notices it, then you all infuse meaning into that thing. But that thing can exist with or without you there, because it just is. And I think that was like my first brushing of isness and, you know, things are meaningless in the best way, right? Because if you had asked me this, you know, in January, well, things are meaningless, and I'd be like, yes. And it's mortifying. Like, I feel so alone. And now looking at,
oh no, I lost her.
But
hey, Jennifer, I lost you for a second.
Oh, that's okay. I don't know what part I cut out.
When you said, and now looking at, like, then it was silence for a few seconds.
Oh, yeah, we've been having internet issues. We're going to check that out. Wait, what was I saying again?
So you were talking about meaninglessness.
Oh, yes.
And then when you're looking at things, but...
Right. So like at the beginning of the year, it dawned on me that things are meaningless, but I was looking at it from such a negative place because I wasn't happy where I was. So now looking at meaninglessness from a place where I feel empowered and I'm living the life that I want to live, and then I get to make meaning into those things that are meaningless, that just cracked things open for me, because it's the same topic, meaningless. Nothing has meaning until you give it. Mm-hmm. So the meaning I was giving it in January was, this is such a lonely place. Oh my God. Like, things are just coming on me because I'm not happy. I just wasn't happy. And now I'm happier, and I'm making decisions that fuel and continue that happiness. And it's like, okay, meaningless is great because I can change. I can choose it, right? Instead of taking, you know, a rejection from a seller as, oh my gosh, this is about, hey, that person isn't ready for me. Put him in my nurture lead. I'll follow up. And, you know, it's all about changing your lens and your perspective. And I think when we had that class, there were a lot of other students that just like, they couldn't handle it. And I was like, well, look at the object, right? It's like a principle in lighting. If you're standing overhead, the light is different. If you're standing directly in front of it, the light is different. If it's under, it's different. It's all about looking at it almost like from a photographic sense. When you're taking a picture of an object, you find the angle that suits you. And that's life. We have to find the angle that suits us.
Right. And if we don't like that angle, like, we have the freedom to look at it differently. So, and listeners, this doesn't have to be anything that's like, this isn't just massive scale stuff. Like, a couple nights ago, it was over the weekend, Sunday, today's Tuesday. Sorry. Yes. Let me just have a conversation with myself here for a moment and get my thoughts together. So Sunday night at, like, you know, 6 o'clock, my daughter, who's 16, says, oh my gosh, I have a science project that's due tomorrow. And I'm like, what? Okay. And so we spent like 3 hours drafting out the nervous system, which, thank goodness I'm a nurse, because we didn't have to, like, I know some of this, right? I didn't know all of it, but you know, I had to look up some things to get the specifics on.
That came in so handy.
But I was able to do the cell, tissue, organ system, organism, and like, and remember some of that and whatever. But so we spent like 3 hours probably putting together the science project and this whole model, proving that she knew what this system did and all this stuff. Okay. So she texted me at school on Monday. And she's like, I only got half credit for the assignment. And I'm like, what? And like, my hackles are up because I'm like, we spent hours on that. I had the rubric printed. Like, I mean, I marked off every piece of the rubric as we went. It was a 2-page thing. Like, and like, we were pretty confident that she was going to get an A.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, it's okay. We'll email him when you get home. And then we got home. And she's like, no, I must have just misunderstood. Like, her lens was that she was, because of him telling her she got half credit, that she must be wrong. Like, her automatic lens was, mm-hmm. oh, he's the teacher, I must be wrong. I'm like, no, we're missing something here. Right. It's okay to question. Just because someone says something to you doesn't mean like you have to take it on and make it mean that you're wrong. Like, let's look at this in a different way. Maybe he didn't see your poster.
Right.
Maybe he didn't see the model. Like, you know, something's missing. And so then we sent an email and he's like, and he emailed back and said, but Gwen, you didn't submit the model. And so then I'm like on the email because we did send the model, but he just didn't see it. And it wasn't snarky. And I was kind and gracious, but I'm like, no, I think you're missing the big giant bright green poster board that she turned in.
Right.
You know? And so anyway, so then she's on pins and needles because she's questioned a teacher and her, she feels like that's wrong or that she's bad or she's going to be in trouble. And he emailed her back this morning and he's like, I think I'm missing it. I think you're right. I think I just didn't see it. When we get to class today, let's talk about it. And she was so relieved, but she couldn't sleep last night because her lens was that she was bad and wrong. And I'm like, Gwen, you're just having a conversation. You're asking questions. If he is defensive and if he is upset, that is his issue.
Right.
Like, you just remain respectful and kind and honest. Like, that's what you do. That's your job. Right. But yeah, I mean,
because questioning authority doesn't necessarily mean disrespecting.
No.
It means you just want a conversation. There's something missing. Let's regroup and see what's missing.
And, you know, as I'm helping her craft this email back to him last night, I'm like, oh my goodness. She hasn't realized that it's a gift to have parents that are supportive, that would even know to crack, like, to, it is okay to question. And I'm not saying, ooh, I'm an amazing parent, but I'm just basing it like my growing up, my parents, it was all they could do to like manage the jobs that they hate and come home and eat and go to bed and do it all over again. There was none of, do we need to question this for your teacher? Did you get a science project done? Do you need help with anything? Like, and it's not because they were bad parents. I was safe and I was loved.
Right.
It's just, they were
a different place. Yeah.
They were just trying to get through.
Absolutely. And I get it because I'm a first generation American. So my parents were born in another country. So my mom had limitations with the language. Like, she speaks English, but it's very, basic. So she couldn't sit down with me and help me through homework. I had to learn both languages. And then I ended up like as an adult translating and like helping her with things like that, because that was my hurdle. So I think about that too, like with my kids, I'm like, wow, not only do they have like a mom who's been in education, who's been a child entertainer, so who can hold their attention for hours, but now when they become school age, because my son's 1.5 and my daughter's going to be 3, when they get to school, they're going to have that as an added bonus, where it's like, when I went to school, if I didn't have 100, it's like, well, why didn't you have 100? And I'm like, well, because I got a 98, you know? And it was that kind of, I don't want to call it like immigrant pressure, but it was almost like that. Like, I did this so that you can have better opportunities. Like, you take advantage of all those opportunities and you be your best self all the time. Like, if I don't speak the language, that's on me. You learn the language. You are assimilating in this culture. You have to be your very best self. So it's like, it's right to that point. Like, my mom wouldn't have known, you know, to question like all my teachers said I talked a lot. And she's like, they're probably right. I see you at home. I know you talk a lot. Mm-hmm. So it was like we never had that that conversation where an adult might be wrong. And that as a mom now, like, has infused so much of my raising my kids, where mm-hmm. if I'm wrong, I'll say, like, the other day I yelled at my daughter for something because she, like, brought something and I didn't know why she was holding it. I told her not to. And my husband's like, oh, that was me. I apologized. Mm-hmm. I apologized to an almost 3-year-old, because that's going to be meaning for her later on. Right. Like, oh, mom just yells at me all the time because I didn't clean up. It's like, no, that wasn't on you. I'm sorry. So, like, I looked at her and I'm like, you know, in Spanish, because my kids speak Spanish now. It's like, mommy, sorry. I didn't know, you know, dad didn't tell me until right now. Are you okay? You know, just to validate her experience. But that's not a conversation that would have been had in my house, because they had different tools to work with, right? Mm-hmm. I have different resources. It's a different time. My networking is different. Who I have access to is different from what my mom had. Mm-hmm. So that just infuses that. Yeah. Our parents did, like you said, the very best that they mm-hmm. could. We have the option now that we can do better. Not that it's diminishing what they've done. It's just different. And we right. can do a lot more than we had access to when we were kids for our parents. Goodness. So right. it's absolutely that.
The opportunities for growth and developing your own awareness, so you can really live a life like what I call a big life, a life that you love, doing things that you love, and then showing your kids that that's possible. Yes. Like, all of that is available. I mean, all you have to do is, like, type it in the Google search and you'll yes. have endless options come up of even, like, free things that will help you step into that growth. I mean, just podcasts alone can provide yes. you an entire education on raising your awareness and leaning into to living a life that you really love, because otherwise, I mean, not let alone like that you're living unfulfilled and then you die that way with regrets and not having played full out, but yes. then you're showing your kids, this right. is what life is. And, you know, now you know better. You've heard it. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm sorry, here's your awareness. And now it's your responsibility to do something about it, because there's greatness inside of you. And there is a voice, whether you're male or female, there's a voice whispering mm-hmm. that there's more for you. And maybe that more is simply having a hard conversation with your spouse, or volunteering at a place you've wanted to volunteer at, or sending a letter to someone telling them thank you for impacting your life,
owning a mistake at work.
Right.
Okay, my bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be like, okay, I'm going to pick up and move my family across the country, or it might be. It might yeah. be. It might be starting a podcast. It might be asking for the promotion. It might, you know, it might be any of those things. But I guarantee you, if you get quiet, even just for 5 minutes, mm-hmm. and start to really shift your perspective and shift that lens that you see things through, yes. a whole new world will open up to you. Like, there's so much possibility all yes. around us.
Yes, there is. And now, like, you know, we're doing this in front of our kids. So my kids are really young, and it's just, I don't know necessarily, I can't sit down and, like, have a conscious revolution, you know, speak with them, because they're just kids. Like, mom sometimes sings and dances, and then sometimes we're eating, you know, like, I don't know what their day mm-hmm. looks like. But then there will be, like, instances where my daughter, like, she'll remember something and she'll talk about it. And I'm like, okay, so it is important that we, you know, we show what we want for her to know is available in the world. Mm-hmm. Like yesterday, somebody, like, honked the horn at a little girl who was crossing the street. And, like, I asked the little girl, like, are you okay? I know you were scared. We were scared too. Like, is that okay? And she was fine. And she moved on. Like, the rest of the night, that's all my daughter said. The little girl was scared. I'm like, yeah, maybe she was scared, but mommy asked if she was okay. And she went home and, you know, she's okay. And she just kept at, like, yeah. And she's like, and the car scared me too. I'm like, yes, you know, it was a loud honk at, like, 8 o'clock at night. It was scary, but you're okay. Right. Yeah. Like, to know that she's absorbing the world at that magnitude at her age, mm-hmm. even more so propels me to, yeah, she needs to see that mom sometimes goes to work and dad can stay home and watch you. Sometimes dad cooks, sometimes mom cooks. We both do laundry. Like, mm-hmm. seeing that everybody has an equal opportunity to do everything in the home that they want to, and that we can be happy. And sometimes we fight. Sure, life isn't perfect, but to just right. know that she's on all the time. And sometimes she remembers things I don't think she's going to remember continually propels me into being my absolute best self as much mm-hmm. as I can. And even on the days that I'm not my best self, showing self-grace so that she can see it's okay to mess up. It's mm-hmm. not going to be perfect. And that's fine, because that's life. This is what we're figuring out, and we're all figuring it out.
Yeah. Why isn't that the truth? It's a journey of figuring yeah. it out, for sure. You know, so just to fast forward for you a little bit. So I have teens, they're 14 and 16. And so I have been on this journey a little over a decade where I just started like growing my awareness. I went from being just like a self-help regurgitator to an applier, you know,
yeah.
I used to just read and regurgitate and not understand how to, you know, filter that through my experience. And, I often wondered when the kids were younger, if they heard or learned anything from what we demonstrated or told them. But mm-hmm. as teens, they use it against me. So, oh really, mom, you're upset? Well, you're choosing that. You're choosing that. If I can make you mad, sad, or glad, mom, you've been had.
Maybe you
need to get control of your emotions, mom. And I mean, they'll do it in a funny way,
yeah.
but there are also times where if I have 8,000 things on my plate and I'm short with them, they're like, okay, this isn't your normal reaction. What's going on, mom?
Yeah.
Like what's driving you to be short with me? And I'm just like, right. Whoa.
As opposed to taking it personal right off the bat and yeah. like getting mad at you. Like, that's beautiful.
So that really is beautiful. That's amazing, except having it used against you isn't so amazing. But I'm also proud of them, because yes. they're aware, you know.
Yes.
And I love that. I love that for them. And I can't wait to see like what they do and where they go right. and how they use the awareness that they have. I think, you know, I know how much of a gift that's been for me to oh my be gosh, able to yeah. take risk and lean into who I am and show up. You know, being unapologetically me and knowing that it's okay if people don't like me. I'm not for everyone, and it's okay. You know, what is, right. you know, I'm not pizza, right? Like, you know, yeah. it's okay.
As delicious as it is. No, we're not. And there's still going to be people who don't like pizza, which is crazy right. for me, but there right. are people there might be a small subgroup, but there's somebody out there who does not like pizza.
Right. Right. So, well, oh my goodness, Jennifer. So there's just so many nuggets in here. So what I typically do with my guests is I wrap up with teaching points, but I didn't this time, just because there's so much good conversation and there's so many points that can be taken from our time together today. But can you tell people like what you're doing, what your life looks like as far as professionally, what you're doing these days, and where they can find you and how they can connect?
Sure. So professionally, I am a luxury real estate agent. I work with a magnificent group of women currently that are luxury realtors as well. My website is www.jennifermercadorealtor.com, but you can find me most actively on Facebook. I host a weekly live called Five Facts Friday, where I jump on and I just give five facts about random things. Sometimes it's about real estate. This past month has been winter themed, so I did like a five facts about snow. Not that I get snow in Florida anymore, so that was a fun one to do. But I do that. I'm on Instagram as well. I'm posting like behind the scenes of like some of the listings that we have coming up. But yeah, I think the Facebook lives have been the most fun, because it gives me a little bit of flexibility with not just flexing my real estate muscle, but also like my performance background and my nerdy background with, like, you know, I love to just like learn about things. Like, I learned about snow for the fun of it. Mm-hmm. So things like that. The Facebook page is Jennifer Mercado Realtor as well at Facebook. So you guys can find me there, where I just ramble. Actually, this Friday we're doing a Christmas Carol, I think is what the guests voted on. So I had like a poll where people were like, do I do an Instagram reel? Do I do a Q&A? Do I do Christmas carols? So the one vote has asked for Christmas carols. So I think I'm just going to be singing live on Friday. That's amazing.
I love it. I love it.
Thank you. Yeah, this was so much fun. Oh my God, I love this. I could do this for hours with you.
Mm-hmm. It is good. Thank you so much for spending time here today. And listeners, I'll put all this in the show notes. So if you're driving or you're not at a place that you're getting all this information down, all of Jennifer's contact information will be inside the show notes for you. So Jennifer, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you. It was my absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
And listeners, we appreciate you being here with us. I know that you have all kinds of options where you can spend your time. And so it means a lot that you spend some time here on Dialed In. And until next time, take action, live big, and stay dialed in. Hey, it's Bethany here. Thanks for listening to this episode with Jennifer. So, what's that small voice telling you? What do you need to do to get really clear about what your next steps are as we're approaching a new year? I don't know about you, but for me, I have a hard time slowing down. I have to really make myself sit down and breathe and meditate. I have to make myself sit down to journal and just stop long enough and think things through. I'm an action taker. I like to drive results, and sometimes that can really be a hindrance for me. But one thing that I am consistent about doing every single year is sitting down, reflecting on the 12 months prior, and then choosing a word that's going to be like a homing device that sets the tone for my following year. And throughout the years, I've had all kinds of people contact me asking me how I do this. What's the method? How does it work? And so this year I thought I'd do something fun and put together a free workshop for you. So we're going to sit inside this workshop and we're going to map out our 2021. And we're going to sit down and think into things that happened in this crazy ass year of 2020, and then put together a plan for 21. Now, this isn't a typical goal setting planning workshop. This is something very different, I promise. And when you leave the workshop, you're going to walk away not only with your one word for 2021, but also some really big insight on how you need to think and feel in order to move towards your goals. Because what we try to do often is to navigate our change through our action. And we can only sustain changed action for a short amount of time when we don't work on the thoughts and feelings and beliefs that are behind that. And so join me in this workshop. It's going to be so much fun. So it's happening Wednesday, the 30th of December at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we're doing it inside of Zoom. Again, registration is free. This is my holiday gift to you. And you can register at bigliferesources.com/aspire, A-S-P-I-R-E. Again, that's bigliferesources.com/aspire. Again, thank you so much for being here today and for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.